for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, June the 29th, 1997. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim and Mildred Coffey are the ministers of the afternoon. Brother Jim Coffey is going to come and minister to us this afternoon. Mildred probably get her up here and say something before he gets through, but she's going to try not to. Well, if she does, we'll tell her it's okay. Okay, Brother Jim.
Praise the Lord.
Be good all the time.
Amen.
I came up here today to tell you that there's not going to be any Baptist in heaven. But don't get excited, there's not going to be any Assembly of God in heaven either. No Pentecostals up there. The only thing you're going to find in heaven is believers. Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of kings and He's Lord of lords. He's the Most High God. And only those who put their trust and faith in Him are going to be the ones that are going to share that time in the heavens. Got a ring over there. So, we'll lay aside our denominational ties and differences today, and we're going to come together in one accord. We've been praying for an accord in this place. It's been lifted up for days now, and I see it coming together already. And as the days go by, we'll see more of it come together. And we're going to get our eyes on Jesus. I talked with a man coming over the other day from Little Rock when we went back to pick up some people about the ministry of deliverance. There seems to be a stigma against deliverance in the churches. And we've determined that there is a negative effect. I mean, people have a very negative effect, or it is a negative effect on people when you talk deliverance, because it would say that I am not perfect. There is something in me that is not truly of the Lord yet, and it seems to put them down, and so they shy away from it. But it is not negative. It is very positive, and it is cleaning us up to where we can walk with the Lord. And we cannot serve my God until we get clean and let Him have free will in our life. So this is why we... You know, my wife's over here. We're easy to distinguish apart. I'm much taller than she is. So you can tell us apart very easily. Usually she preaches when we're over here. But this time, the Lord impressed me to bring a message to you today. And I want to talk to you. It's going to be about deliverance, all right. But I want to tell you, first of all, that your enemy is not the enemy you think it is. Your enemy is yourself. You are your biggest enemy. And the flesh will always drive you to do the wrong thing. That's why God had so much to say about it by walking in the Spirit. For only the Spirit of God can please God. And when we get off in the flesh, we can't please our God. So we need to get our lives cleaned up so we can walk more in the Spirit and walk with our God so we can be a very pleasing vessel unto our God. So let's learn and begin today afresh and anew how to put down the flesh, how to put self down. You know, we want the very best for me. I always like to lift me up. Our brother, here's Jack, he's talking about, he said, we're talking, somebody mentioned lust over here. He said, lust for money. Yeah, I had that one time. Wanted to be a millionaire in the worst sort of way. Well, we have all kinds of spirits in us, and spirits of lust are prevalent in us, and that's excess in anything. That's what lust is. It's excess. And we don't need anything in us that will stand between us and our God. You will need to get rid of your idols today. You see, I don't have any idols. I don't have a figurine or a figure or any idol in my house that I worship. let me tell you, anything that you place before the Lord Jesus Christ becomes an idol to you, and you will worship it in case, whether you know it or not. And you need to get rid of those things that you've placed before your Lord. And we do it by deliverance. You know, Satan don't want you set free. He has already begun to work, even in this session right now. You getting any voices? Well, I don't need deliverance. You don't need deliverance. Don't turn that thing off. He don't know what he's talking about. That's right. You know, the more I read the Word of God, the more I realize I don't know anything about the Word of God. There is so much more down in there that I haven't gotten a hold of yet, that I've only scratched the surface. And I didn't come to here as one that's the ace and the one that has all the answers. I came here as a learner, but there's some things that I have learned and I want to share with you. And I want you to begin to walk in a place with the Lord where the enemy can't touch you. There is a place there. Did you know there is a place there?
Yes, hallelujah.
When you got saved, I've told this before over here, when you got saved, you got a number of things just in salvation. I have to name them in the order that I've learned them in. You got safety, soundness, wholeness, healing, health, deliverance, and prosperity. My goodness, that's seven things that we got in salvation. You say, I didn't get all that. Oh, you got it. You just didn't receive it. You see, you have to receive from the Lord. And you have to receive your deliverance, or you won't get any deliverance. You've got to, if you don't acknowledge that you have a problem, you can't get rid of the problem. You've got to know that you've got a problem. And there are things in your life that stand between you and your God that are problems. They are real problems. So we're going to do a little bit today about getting rid of some problems. Now, I'm going to teach. I'm going to give you scripture. I'm going to pull a Tommy back there. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today, and I'm going to share with you on scripture. Turn with me first to Proverbs, to the 23rd chapter of Proverbs. And we're going to look at verse 7, where it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he unto thee, but his heart is not with thee." And if you'll know, if you've read Proverbs, you know that you're talking about when you're with a ruler, a rich ruler, and he places a meal before you. He says, put a knife to your throat. Don't be ready, so greedy to eat. Because what he's saying to you is not what he really means. And you know, we are a lot like that. You know, you're like a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? Anybody don't know what a chameleon is? Yeah, let's see some name. It's a little lizard-like animal, a very small lizard. And to protect himself, when anything gets near him, he'll turn the color of whatever he is placed on. If he's on green, he'll turn green. If he's on red, he'll turn red. And he hides himself for fear. And he has a lot of fear, so therefore he hides himself. And we are full of fear. And we hide ourselves even when the Lord comes around. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was going to say we hide from the devil, but you know we hide from the Lord. We do not want to be found guilty. So therefore, when the Lord convicts us, we even deny it many times. And it's because there is a spirit within us that is controlling us. And it's not me, this real entity that God put in here that's doing it, but it is influenced by something up here. And something up here has moved in and stolen a part of my soul and your soul. Oh, I'm getting down somewhere where it's going to hurt now, isn't it? Did you know that part of your soul had been removed? Well, not me. I'm a Christian. Were you always a Christian? Was there a time in your life when you served the devil? Did you get deliverance from that? You did. Got rid of all of it? I have never seen anybody freely, completely delivered yet, but perhaps it is. Perhaps there's some that are. And those things that were there are still there, and even though they have not manifested themselves at this time, when you're at your weakest point, they're going to manifest. And when they gain enough strength within you, they'll manifest. And they will have removed a portion of your soul. We notice that in lack of memory, for one thing, is the easiest thing to bring up, that we don't remember as well as we used to. And they take a place in your soul. And you think, that's just me. And when you make decisions, you say, well, that's just the flesh. That's just me doing that. And is you're influenced by something inside of your of you that is speaking to you. Let me say this to you before we go any further. The devil can't read in your mind. He is not able to read your mind. If he could read your mind, we could never fight him in any place. He would check us at anything we decide to do because we had to think it first. He can't read your mind, but he surely can speak to your mind. He will influence your mind. He will speak words into you. He's known as the false prophet. But I don't think I'm going to get on the false prophet today. That's further over, and that's getting on. But we like to be without problems, without sin. So we are just like that chameleon. Let's look at Psalm 51:7 while we're over in this section here. The word says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, and wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop was a bush that had leaves like velvet. And it was used for in sanctifying things, people, the temple. It was the one that they dipped in the blood. Because it would hold blood, that's why they used hyssop, because of the velvet-type leaf. And it, then they sprinkled, that's how they sprinkled the blood with the hyssop. And David is speaking to the Lord and he says, cleanse me. Do you know what this is all about? He has just been confronted by Nathan the prophet because he had taken Bathsheba and had her husband killed and taken his wife. And he's telling the Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse my heart now, O Lord. And David was a man that even though we look at him as one of the pillars in God's Word, yet he had sin in his life. He had things that were wrong with him, and these things had happened. And he was wanting to be cleansed just as you and I need cleansing today to be able to walk with our Lord so that we can be fully able to receive all that God wants for us. Now, you and I both know that we are simply vessels that God wants to move into and have His way in the land today. Isn't that what the Scripture say? That Jesus has done His work. He is seated on the right hand of the Father. He has completed it, and He's hunting a vessel for the Holy Spirit to move into and do a work. The Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. That's not the Holy Spirit. You get to, but that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God living in an individual who is directing that individual because He is open to the individual to say, move through in me. Move through me, God, and I'll allow You to be Lord. And that's a Spirit-filled person. And we get to speak in tongues. And I see so many who think that the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Because I speak in the tongues, I have the Holy Spirit. Have you heard any false tongues lately? We hear them regular. There are false tongues, and they have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They have a lot to do with an unholy spirit, though, and you have to have discernment. He wanted his heart cleansed, and over in the 10th verse of that same chapter, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And we need that right spirit today to walk in the presence of God, to be able to walk in man, in presence of man also, not just with God in His presence, but we have to have the presence of God. We don't need to let our feet hit the floor in the morning, but if we have not already committed ourselves to God for this day and say, have Your way, Lord, move through me today. Direct me into the place You'd have me to go. Do you think God doesn't care what you do in the daytime? My wife says it this way. Well, people tell me that God don't care what I wear. He does care what you wear. He'll tell you what to wear if you'll listen to Him. He will direct every aspect of your life. He will direct everything that you need if you will share with Him and talk with Him and let Him talk back to you. But we talk so much, we don't give Him an opportunity to even speak back. Our tongue is our worst enemy. I believe it's fastened in the middle and it wags at both ends. We talk that much that we just talk all of the time and we don't stop to listen to God. Ezekiel 18 goes along with this. We'll look at this scripture. Now I know that I'm going to have to really do some hurry here if I'm going to bring this today. 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to your ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all of your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make a new heart and a new spirit. For why would you die, O house of Israel? And if we don't make some changes in our life, he says, we're going to die. That's what that says there. That's what he's talking about. Did you know that you are the Israel of today? You who have received Jesus, you are the Israel today. That country, Israel, has not received the Lord Jesus Christ yet. Only a fraction. Praise God they are. Praise God they're coming in. More and more are coming in. Not only over there, but all over the world, the Jew is coming in. But they have not, as a nation, received the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking for a king, and he came riding a donkey, a servant. And they did not receive him, and they rejected him. And they have still rejected him. So we, as it says in Corinthians, we're grafted into the natural olive tree. A wild olive bush has been grafted in. And we're the Israel of today. He says, don't get proud, for as God grafted you in, he shall also graft Israel back in one day. When they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they too shall serve the Lord Jesus Christ and receive all of the blessing of the Lord. I don't know what he's doing with the Israel of today. That's not my problem. My job is to speak the word. My job is not even to convince you today to get deliverance. Did you know that? My job is to tell you. That's what he said to tell. And if you can receive or you can reject, it doesn't make any difference. Well, it does make a difference. But it's up to you is what I'm saying. It's not up to me how good I preach. I'm not a good preacher. My wife's a good preacher. I'm not a good preacher.
You're good.
And my wife's a better preacher. Put it that way. And if you're not receiving because of my personality, then that's a problem between you and God. But I'm giving you the word. I'm telling you what the word says. And it's up to you what you do with the word today. And this is what we're bringing forth now. And I've got a lot more word. Turn with to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Did you know there were afflictions when you received the gospel? Oh, yes. According to the power of God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. First of all, there are afflictions. We will receive afflictions. You're going to be ostracized because of your belief in the world today. But you're in good company. They ostracized my Lord. And they put him down. They killed him. They hung him on a tree. But praise God, he came out of that tree, out of that ground. 3 days later, he came up. He came up with power. And he has ascended, and he has seated, presenting his word to us today through the Holy Spirit, that we might walk in the same place that he walked. Thank you, Lord. He says in 14, John 14, verse 12, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. And because he has ascended, he is no longer one. He has spread himself over the face of the whole earth in the Holy Spirit, moving through brothers, sisters, all over the place. You are important to God. I just finished reading. God made you especially. You are made in his image. You are made in the very image of our Lord. And you should recognize who you are and the calling that is on your life. You say, I don't have a calling. God gave you a calling of reconciliation, if nothing else. Just to reconcile first self to God and then start in a family group. And if you can't do it in the family, if that won't work, friends, neighbors, round about. You have a ministry. Every person, God God deems you important. He made you. He established you. And whether you know it or not, you have a ministry. Who? First John. Little John is the way our people in the mission call it. Not Big John. Little John. Chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love of God hath toward us. God is love. Let me say it this way. God is. God is. God is. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, we are believers. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm fairly confident that most everyone here has received Jesus. And Jesus has come to dwell in you. Have you come to dwell in Jesus yet? There's a difference. Are you dwelling in Jesus? That's what it was talking about right there in 16. He in us and us in him. And until we come to dwell in Jesus, it's not coming through, is it? I need to go from here to Little Rock. And if I get out there and I hitchhike or I walk, it's going to take me an awful long time. But if I get in my car, I can zip out there and down across the highway and I'll be back in less than an hour. I'll be back in Little Rock. That's my wife. But when I am in Jesus, it's the same thing, that I am in him and he has surrounded me and he is the one that's moving. He is the one now that is the authority and the power and the strength and all that I need to move on, and it's Jesus doing the work, and I have sit back and rested in him and given myself completely over to him, and now he is going. See it now? Praise God. I get some nod. Praise God, we're hearing it now. Then we need to be in Jesus, because we invited him in us. Now we need to allow him to be all that he is in us. That's what I'm trying to say. As Jesus needs to be all that we desire and all that he wants to be. Who? Romans 8. That's a good chapter. Romans 8. Now it's in there. Usually my Bible falls right over to Romans 8. Let's look at verse 16 this time. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Uh-oh, we done got off in trouble again. If we suffer with him, are you willing to take all that is thrown at you because you are called by his name, Christian? Because the world is not going to place you on a pedestal because you're a Christian. In fact, I just read in the paper where they're trying to take a lot of the things that Christians have away from them legally. Our government is just trying to take a lot from the church. And they do it little by little. You know, they never do it all at one whack. They don't. I mean, you'll accept a little bit. And we're so mamby-pamby and easy to get along with that. Jack, we'll let them have a little bit. But then they'll turn around and take a little bit more. And then we'll say, well, you know, it's just a little bit. We let them. And pretty soon they got the whole basket. And we need to stand up. We need to raise our backs up and tell them who we are. Not in belligerency or demanding, but let them know that we're not mets to be walked on, but we are representing the Most High God. And he is the ruler of this universe. Even though they don't recognize it, he still is ruler. Absolutely, praise God. So we need to get our backs up every so often and really let them know who we are. Let's move on with Proverbs in the 6th chapter. We had that over to men's meeting this morning, but I'm not going to that one that we use there in chapter 6 of Proverbs. Let's drop all the way down to verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Again, to talk to you a little bit about your soul. I'm not going to preach on the soul today, but that was a portion of it that I wanted to bring in. There is soul matter transpiring between couples when you have sexual relation. There is soul matter that is dispensed. A portion of my soul is called a soul tie. We don't realize that. We never, until we get into the Word, we never found out about it. But we need to be careful. And he's talking about adultery, that we destroy our soul. He says, a wound and a dishonor shall he get, and a reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the days of vengeance. And that's against the committing adultery. That if a person commits adultery, watch out for a husband is what he's talking about in the natural. But you know, we commit adultery too many times, both men and women. And we say we're Christians, yet we commit spiritual adultery. We turn from our God. Let me see if this is where I... Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're married to God. Jack, did you know you were the bride? Oh, praise God. We are the bride. Men don't like to look at that. That's feminine, isn't it? Well, not in spirit, not spiritually, it's not. We are married to the Lord. How many of you know the song Beulah Land? Ever heard the song Beulah Land? Well, what does Beulah mean? Married. You are married. And you're married to the Lord. And if you're going to Revelations, I'm not going there, but in the last end of Revelations, in the last chapter there, it talks about the bride of Christ coming down, which is the new Jerusalem. But that's not the city. That is the people of the Lord who are coming down. The city is established and it will come down. Did you know you were going to spend eternity on the earth? We thought it was going to be up in heaven. That place says it's coming down. Praise God. But he's going to cleanse all of this before that happens. There is a time of cleansing. And my God, but we need to start acting like we are married to the Lord. We are the bride. He says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. I still see some. And there's yet work to be done is what I'm saying. Talked to a brother here more than once that I've talked to brothers today about that. Probably came up more than once. The Word of God never changes. It will never change. As God spoke it, the power of that Word was so strong that it carries into eternity. But we have to change for our life to match the Word of God so that we can move with our God. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you have walked with the Lord. I don't care how many times you've read the Bible. You are still going to be changing until you come before the Lord if you're going to walk with Him. You will continually change because the Word is always open. It is there for you, a new interpretation of a deeper Word that He has for you. All of us can read the Word and understand what that said, but when we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word to us, He will open that Word up and begin to share. And as people who are subject to having demons in us, they talk to us too much. We need the Holy Spirit telling us exactly what that Word is saying to us so that we truly can receive it and get our deliverance. So, well, we will be a changing people for the rest of our lives until we come face to face with our Lord. I'm going to begin to start talking about some demons. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. First of all, the bitterness. The bitterness is prevalent in the land today. There's a spirit of bitterness. There is a spirit. But there's spirits of most anything you can name. Did you know that? Everything that is against what the Lord has, you can find a demon behind it. You know, you can come to the Lord and warm a pew, and you're not really going to be harassed very bad when you come in just and sit down and warm a pew. You get your name on the roll, And you're not very, you're not active, you're not doing anything. You know, you're just, you're no threat to the devil. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, he wrote your name down. Not only did he write your name down, well, he did that at first, I'm sure. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, he assigned a demon to you. Now you're a threat. Because the Spirit's going to minister to you, and he's going to show you the problems of your life, how you can overcome them, and go on. Did you know that you'll be in spiritual warfare all the days of your life until you come to the very presence of the Lord, and he receives you, your spirit, into his presence? You'll be in warfare. But that's all right. My God is greater than any demon that ever walked this earth. And as long as I have placed my trust in my Lord, I don't have a thing to worry about because I'm trusting in God to do it. I still work. I have a job 5 days a week. My wife gets very perturbed because they don't give me. I own a little piece of the business and I never get anything out of it. She says, they owe you money. They owe you money. Make them do it. Make them do it. Well, if I depend on that business for my ability to operate in the land, that is, for my income, if that's where I'm depending, then I've got to go back to them and make them give me that money. But if I depend on the Lord for my income, that does not amount to a hill of beans. My God will bring it to me any number of different ways. And you know my bank account just grows and grows and grows. I came from poverty. And I praise the Lord that he's brought me out, and I'm not bragging on anything but the Lord. And I certainly am bragging on my Lord tonight. I came from poverty in the days when there was nothing. Never went hungry a day in my life. But we had nothing because during the Depression years there wasn't any money. And I learned the value of a dollar because my father was a Christian man. And he knew how to handle money, but he never let us go hungry. And so when I grew up, I learned to trust in the Lord. So I have always placed my trust in the Lord that he would be the one who would supply my need. Not the way that I should be doing it all times, but I have learned that and I'm walking toward that to be that the ultimate in my life completely. And on this part of it, I have trusted that part of it to the Lord, and can you imagine a man in poverty coming to the point where he can pay cash for a car? The last two cars I bought, I paid cash for. And it didn't hurt my bank account. Now, I hadn't got any raises. Do you know I haven't had a raise from the place that I work for, oh my goodness, how many years? Over 10, 12, something like 14 years. I don't know. At my age, you don't count. You can't keep up with time anymore. So it doesn't really matter. And I'm walking with the Lord. So he's in charge of that area of it. And I don't have to worry about it. But my God has supplied every need. That's what I'm trying to say to you. He's supplied my needs. And I'm able to give back unto the Lord. And I just praise him for what he's doing. So when we have learned to give God back that belongs to him, he will bless you in so many different ways. It's not always with money, but usually he will return all that you put in. You're loaning it to him. It's what you're doing. It's what the Word says. And I don't know where that came from, but God just impressed me to tell you about that today because there are people here today that need to know this. There's some people here that are under... Obrahan, I see something there. There's been a lot of abuse in some people's life, I'll put it that way. I bind that spirit of abuse right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind sexual abuse in the name of the Lord Jesus. I take authority over it and I render it powerless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that sexual abuse. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take authority over that spirit, amen. And I loose you from it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will no longer keep that person bound. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, where I was, let's go over to Psalms 106, verse 35. Verse 34 said, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. This is the children of Israel. But they mingled among the heathen. They learned their works. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sanctified their... Beg pardon. There they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Here is progression of walking with the devil. They mingled with the people. They mingled. You mingle with the demons. You allow the demons, without restriction, without stamping your foot down and saying, you will not go any further. You cannot have any part of me. I will not walk in what you're trying to entice me into. But yet we mingled. We allowed them room there. We learned their ways. We served the idol. Those things that are stand between God and us, we serve those things. And then we come to a place where we sacrificed our children. You say you don't see that happen except a just rare case. Yeah, there's been some in the papers recently. People that didn't really take care of their children. There was a case just recently in our community, nearby neighborhood, where a woman took her 7 children and walked off into the water with them, going to drown them all because the end of the world was coming. And she had, her oldest was 12 years old, I believe, and from there down. But she had a change of heart after she got out in the water and brought them back out. Well, the law got a hold of her, and there was no one drowned. But let me tell you something else. Children are being sacrificed daily. What about abortion? We have given up children for the sake of their being in our way to the things that we want to do, so therefore we will abort a child who is a spirit sent from God, and the world's going to say, well, that's a fetus, and if you want the argument, I'll give it to you. John the Baptist, was that a fetus? He was filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb. And those children are being aborted, being killed, and some, well, you know the argument, the thing that they are fussing about now, the late abortions that's going on, and such as that. It's an abomination before our God, and we will pay. We will pay as a people, we will pay. We will pay, I don't know, I think this is going to come up again before I get through here if I have time, and I'll pick it up later. Go to Deuteronomy 23. Verse 1 says, he that is wounded in his stones or hath his privy members cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. You said, why on earth did you read that? What do you think about sex changes? Somebody that says that God made a mistake in my life. I should have been a man. I should have been a woman. There are people that are doing that regularly. Changing their saying, saying that God was not knowledgeable enough and God made a mistake in my life. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And then there's another scripture that goes along with that in the law also that says that this law shall stand forever. It'll never be changed. A bastard, one born out of wedlock. You say, well, I was born, but my parents were married before I was born, though. You were conceived out of wedlock. The same applies to anyone conceived out of wedlock. And we need to get all of our things straight in life. For instance, I came out of a Baptist background. I was baptized when I was 12 years old. I beg your pardon. I was dipped when I was 12 years old. Did not mean a thing to me. A bunch of boys went down in a revival, what they call revival. You know, that's not really too many are getting revived, but it's a time of people coming to the Lord more than it is revival. But anyhow, we went down and got dipped in the water, and I went and spent too much of my life lost and knowing that I was lost. Eventually, I came to the knowledge that I was lost. If I died, I would not be with my Lord, that I would go to hell. Even though I was in church every Sunday, and I had been dipped in that water, but I did not have a relationship with my God. So, after we were married and had a family, and my kids were on up yonder, the Lord got a hold of me, And we were back at the Baptist church. We had been on Presbyterian church for 21 years. And we went back to the Baptist church. And I went down on a statement of an earlier baptism, and they received me. And then the Lord convicted me and said, you wasn't saved. Now, that thief on the cross, when Jesus said, tonight, this day shall you be with me in paradise, he wasn't baptized. But my God says to be baptized and to follow his leading, I knew that I needed to be baptized. And I'm saying all this to say we need to get everything right before God. So I went back to my preacher and I told him. He listened to me and he said, after much conversation, he says, you're right, and I was baptized. So what we need to do, he didn't say get saved and then wait until some later time get baptized. He said be baptized. Be saved and then be baptized right then. This is what he's talking about, not wait years. And I'd waited 30-some years in between that dipping the time that I came to the Lord, and I needed baptism to be obedient to God's Word, and for that reason only is what I needed it for, just because God said it. And we need to honor this Word. We have compromised the Word for so long that it is so easy to do it that we don't even consider it any longer, that it is a compromise. God understands is our Word. I know it's wrong, but God understands. He certainly does. And we'll answer. We'll have to answer for all the times that we've compromised his Word. It says, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And he's speaking of incest, because they were the incestuous children of Lot and his daughters, the two tribes, the Ammonites and the Moabites. And the incest is an abomination unto the Lord. That's sex in the family. And he's very hard against it. It is an abomination. In chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verse 9 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth me, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's rough there, isn't it? How much of that do I really want to go? For all these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, if we will look at that, he's saying that you will not have anything to do with the false gods there. The divination is witchcraft. The observer of times is one who practices magic. Enchanter is a prognosticator. He tells you of events to come. And, of course, the witch is a charmer, and she casts spells, and they're real. And in this day and time, when we say these words, for instance, when we say magic, we think of sleight of hand. Artists that really are able to deceive you with mystic-type operation from a stage. But in that day, there was true magic, and it is still true magic today for those who walk in this. And we don't realize that there is true magic, and that all of these spirits are present and active today, and they're trying to separate you from your God. I do know why I wanted to come here. Making your son and your daughter to pass through the fire. No, that's not the one I want. Bring it back, Lord. Hallelujah. Abortion. There's a spirit of abortion in the land, and we say we do not believe in abortion. We don't commit abortion. But you know, God tells you that if you don't speak out against it, you are just as guilty. Now, that's not popular. But he has called us. In fact, he said for those who take their children out and sacrifice them, that we shall take those people out and stone them, and if we refuse to do it, then we should be killed. Now, what does that say to us today? Does that not tell us that we should be very active in speaking out against those abominations unto our Lord? And I think we need to recognize that very much. Leviticus 18. Getting bored? Getting close. I won't have too many more. Verse 26. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. You shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor of your stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and in the land that is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defiled it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. And it says here that we will be spewed out of the land. But wait, what is my land? Where is my land? Here's my land. I'm walking in my land today. And he's saying that I will not be in control, and I'll be thrown out, spiritually thrown out, and my soul removed if I do not follow after the Lord, and I follow after those abominations of the Lord, that I need to follow the God that I have confessed to be my Lord, and that I should uphold His word in all that I say and do. Look at 19 while we're over in Leviticus. Verse 26. You shall not eat anything with its blood, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. Ooh. Said, well, I don't eat blood. You eat raw meat? How about rare meat? I know parents, a lot of people do. You know, they eat blood sausage. They make a sausage from blood. We've run into people. We've ministered deliverance to people that eat blood sausage. And there are other dishes, a blood pudding that is made. And they eat it. They enjoy it. They love it. In fact, I had an elderly lady that came to us for deliverance. Wasn't there one that came that was eating blood? I'll let sometime later let my wife tell you about that one. But we had one in our neighborhood. She was not of our church, but she came to us for deliverance. And we cast that out of her, eating the blood. So it is still real today. 1926, let me go on from there. Neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. Well, that enchantment is the witch, and the observer times I've already talked about. You shall not round the corners of your head, neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. There's the one against tattoos. Shall not have tattoos. And the scars, it says, you're not going to make scars on your body for the dead. I don't know of anybody that's doing that, but hey, in this day and time, we don't really know. I know that there are people, and I've seen them, and I've had them, and ministered to them, whose arms are so scarred, and who came to us. We had one girl that came to us so bloody you had to wash her before you could let her in the house, because she had taken a razor and cut her arms all to pieces to get the blood for the demon. And when they take over, see, they'll try their best to kill you. And if she had ever turned around and got on the underside, it would have killed her. Because she didn't get to the vein, she stayed on the backside of her arm and cut and her arm is just as, all the stripes are down both arms. Right? Her stomach was cut also. I didn't see that. That was something before I got in and they cleaned her up there. But that was in my home that she came to my home. And people do this. The demons demand this of you. And when you're under their control, you are not in control any longer. This is the things they'll do to you. And people want to sit and say, well, I don't have any demons and I don't have any problem with these things. I'll just let everybody else get deliverance. You wait till one of them takes over and you'll wish you got deliverance. I'll guarantee you they're out to kill you. This is their purpose. What did Satan come to do? He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And his demons, the emissaries that he sends, they are out for the same thing. They are of their father, the devil. They are liars, and they are out to do the very same works that the devil does. So if you even have a slight idea you've got a demon, I advise you to get rid of it. Leviticus 20, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Molech, and to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people," and here's the one I was talking about a moment ago, "and if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth his seed to Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people." And that's abortion. That too is abortion. That was the one I was talking about a moment ago. I knew that I had it in there. In the 18th chapter, one more in the 18th before I leave this area, I missed. Let me go back up and pick it up. 18:22. He said, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." You have any other scripture you need to worry about on homosexuality? I think that's very emphatic. I'll read that again. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down unto it. It is confusion." Bestiality. He said, "Well, that don't happen. I bind it here in this place right now. I bind that spirit of bestiality in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus." In the name of Jesus. You see, we didn't come from a background of temple background. We came from a background of sinner. "What's your background?" He asked you. Where'd you go? "I'm a sinner. Came from background of sinner. Praise God, I'm not a sinner any longer. I'm saved by God's grace, and I walk with the Lord. But I came from that background, and those things that happened to me, if we have not been cleansed from them, they're still there." And you say, "Well, they aren't there because I don't feel them, and they don't operate." You wait till one gets enough strength. You know how demons operate? When we commit sin, they slip in. That's how they get in. They slip in through sin. But he doesn't immediately take over. What he does is every time you sin, another one will come in, and there'll be a strong one eventually take over. The one that's the strongest in the group will take over. And he will have all the others under him. And they operate by fear. God operates by love. Demons operate through fear. And the strongest one will be the strong, what we call the strong man in you. And he will not... let me do it this way. Here's a good illustration in the way I usually do it, because you understand this. I call out a spirit of homosexuality, and you say, "I'm not a homosexual. I don't practice." But that spirit came in, and he is sitting waiting until he got enough strength to take over. And when he takes over, you'll be a homosexual. You will absolutely be a homosexual. You will practice it. And that is the same with any other thing other than homosexual. I just use that one to show you how strong these things can be. And we did not always serve God, so therefore we picked up a lot of stuff, and we have not been completely cleansed. You know, John in the 13th chapter, verse 7, Jesus has just completed the supper. Verse 4 says, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself." In verse 7, Peter comes, in 6 says, Peter cometh, he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him. Peter was adamant in the fact that he knew who he was dealing with. He knew that earlier he had made that statement when Jesus had asked him, "Who do men say that I am? But who do you say that I am?" And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, heaven and earth, or man did not reveal this unto you, but my Father in heaven revealed it. So he knew who Jesus was, and when he wanted to wash his feet, he was so ashamed he would not let him. He said, you will never wash my feet. And he said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. We got clean people here today. Your feet need washing. Why do your feet need washing? What was this he was talking about? Why feet? You say, because they wore sandals or no shoes at all and they walked in dusty roads. That was the physical. That was the thing that was wrong in their body. But what was Jesus teaching them? He says, as you come in contact with the world and you walk in the world, you continually pick up things of the world. You are clean. You have come to me. You have been cleansed. You are no longer that sinner walking in the earth. You have been cleansed, but your feet need cleaning. You need to clean up that has attached itself to you, that was not something you sought, but it came on its own and attached to you. Those demonic forces, those powers that came in and adhered to you, you need to get rid of that. And I'm doing it, I'm showing you by cleansing your feet. That these are the things that you picked up in the world. And you and I, we call ourselves Christian. We are saved. We walk in the land today. We need cleansing from those things that we pick up. People say, Christians can't have a demon. Or demons can't have a Christian. Who are all these people? That's what he just said. That throws that out altogether. He told Peter, you're clean. You are clean, but your feet need cleansing. So Christians can have demons. Why else would a demon attack a person that was not a Christian? What was the point? He already had them. Why would he go after them again? It was the Christian he needed to go after. It is the man that received God and walked with him. I'm going to quit right there. I've got 3 or 4 more scriptures. I'm going to quit. Praise God. I think I've said what I want to say. And I think God wants to set you free. I'm going to do a few minutes here of deliverance. Nope, that's not the one I want. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us so much you want us set free. You want us free in the land. You want us to be able to worship you, to stand before you and to say, Father, enter into me and let me be the body that will move you in the land today, that will carry you from place to place. The hands that will do the work for you, the mouth that will speak your word here in the land today. I want to be cleansed, Father. Set me free. Deliver me today, Father. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I bind the enemy. I bind Satan's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind every demonic force that is in the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus, all in this building, all on the campground in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you again in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. At the sound of your name, you will release the people and set them free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to give long thing. We're just going to call some spirits out. And as I call, spirits, the word spirit in the Greek, in the Bible, is a Greek word, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, pneumatic, speaks of air. It's translated wind, breath, breath, wind, air. And they will manifest themselves many times in coming out the mouth through heavy breathing, coughing, sneezing, throwing up even, to the point of even throwing up. When you get a demon really moving, we've done it many times and seen it happen. So don't hold them, is what I'm trying to say to you right now. Don't allow them any room. If you even feel the slightest urge of something moving, you don't talk, you don't cross your legs, you don't cross your fingers especially. Put both feet flat on the floor. And agree with me silently. Don't pray. Do not pray. They won't come out over your prayer. Yes, well, that's praying too, I guess. Speaking, no speaking in tongues, no praying. In fact, just agree. If you're in there, you've got to go, and you do it. I said it out loud so you could hear me, but you do it silently, and you fight them with everything that is in you to make those things come out. And it's not a stigma to have a demon. Don't worry about it. Everybody in here's got one, so don't think anything about it. In fact, they got a lot of them, and not just one. I'd love to see somebody with just one. So don't worry about them. They're not worried about you. They're worried about their own. So turn him loose. Doc says that if you comes to a point where you lose your dignity or your demon, get rid of your demon, you can always get your dignity back. And I agree. And he said that again today, and I totally agree with him on that. We can always get our dignity back, but you can't always get rid of a demon. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, I call these demons in Jesus' name. I call the spirit of rebellion. Rebellion in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rebellion, you have no place here. Loose them and let them go. Disobedience. Disobedience, come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Doubt. Doubt and unbelief, I take authority over you and I break your hold over this congregation of people. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Doubt and unbelief. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that spirit of hatred. Hatred, come out, come out. Madness, insanity, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Fear, all types of fear. Fear, big fear, little fear. Fear of authority, fear of man, fear of woman, fear of your job, fear of the dark, fear of all types of fear. Come out in Jesus' name. You name your fear. Fear has to go. It has no place in God's people. Let them go, let them go. Come on out, that's it. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let my people go. Let my people go. The Lord says, let my people go. I say, let God's people go today in the name of Jesus. Hatred, madness, insanity, fear, torment, destruction, spirit of destruction, Apollyon, Abaddon, come out in Jesus' name. Unbelief, rejection, spirits of rejection. They're hard spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you have no place in God's people. Loose them and let them go. Rejection. Fear of rejection, disappointment, spirit of discouragement, come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you. Come on, help me, take a deep breath. Come on, everybody, take a deep breath. Take another one. Get them moving. Come on out. If you feel something stirred, cough him out. Do a little cough, but get him moving, just start him. Come out in Jesus' name, Unbelief. Unbelief, rejection, fear of rejection, disappointment, discouragement. Loose them and come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go. Fear of failure, come out. The Lord rebuke you. Abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, verbal abuse. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the abuse in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Lust. Spirit of lust. Unnatural desire. Cravings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Cravings for things. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. You have no place in God's people. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Heavenly Father, right now, do a work in here. Move. Let your Holy Spirit move through those people. Father, these people need deliverance. They need deliverance. Touch them afresh and anew right now, Lord. Let your spirit move in this place that they will be set free, not for man's glory, but for your glory, God, that your people can be turned loose to walk with you. I bind this enemy. I bind the enemy that's stopping deliverance over this place right now. In Jesus' name, I take authority over you and I bind you. And I loose the Holy Spirit to move and to set people free. And Jesus, the deliverer, to move in this place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now come out. Come out, all you spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Incest, I come against incest. I bind that spirit of incest in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call that spirit of incest out. You know, you've got to go. You've got to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No, you cannot stay. You have no place in God's people. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You have caused problems in that life all her life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Incest. You will obey, you will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose her now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of incest. You can't stay. Spirit of rape. Come on out. Rape. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of rape. Haters of God. Haters of God. Come out. Perversion. Spirit of perversion. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Adultery. Adultery. Fornication. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. You have no place here. Perversion, all perversion, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, unclean spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name, unclean, unclean spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, rejection from the womb, come out, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call that beast out. I call that beast out in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That beast, the beast within, I call the false prophet out, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I call that unholy trinity out. Beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I command you, loose them. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. God gave us authority over all of the power of the devil. You have no right to be here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over the unholy trinity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I cast it out. I cast it out in Jesus' name. Loose this people. You will obey. You will obey. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lying spirit. Deception. The accuser. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lies. Lies. I call lies out. Apollyon. Destroyer. Leviathan. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All that pride. Spirit of pride. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Beelzebub. Blaspheming spirit, Jezebel, come out in Jesus' name. Idolatry, the hunter of souls, confusion, control, iniquity, false tongues, false Jesus, come out, in Jesus' name, let her go, come out, come on out, move, move in Jesus' name, a false Christ, filthiness, fornication, homosexuality, stubbornness, witchcraft, blood sacrifice, hexes, vexes, incantations, the magic, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. You're not... You'll get no victory here, devil. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I speak to addiction. Addiction. Alcohol. Dope. All types of dope. Prescription dope. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All those that are on prescription. Materials that are addictive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call that addiction off. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the bondage of the addiction. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I set you free. In Jesus' name. I bind Satan's power here in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not stop the deliverance. And you will not keep these people from being set free. You're a loser. You've lost it already. Jesus already has done the work. You will obey, demon. Get out of here in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Blindness, deaf and dumb spirit. Greed, spirits of greed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lust for things. I break the curse of a bastard over this congregation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take authority over that curse in the name of Jesus. I break it over every person here in the name of the Lord Jesus. I release you from the bondage of that curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I set you free from that curse in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You say, well, that doesn't apply to me or us. You don't know what your grandfather did, or your great-grandfather, and that went back 10 generations. You don't even know what your father did, for sure. We don't know what anyone else did. So, I break the curse over you, and I set you free from the bondage of the curse of a bastard in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. High blood pressure. I come against high blood pressure, and I call that spirit of high blood pressure out. I come against cancer. Spirit of cancer. I'll stop here for a minute. Do you know that cancer is a spirit? Did you know that? We've cast one out of a girl in our church. It had already manifested itself in her and was growing. We've got it out. And it is a spirit. And it is prevalent here today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'll grant you, you don't want it. You don't want a spirit of cancer. I cast out cancer. I cast out a spirit of cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break its bondage in the name of Jesus. I curse it at its very root. I call and command it to shrivel and die in the name of the Lord Jesus. Never, never to bring forth fruit in the body of anyone here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command that spirit to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the curse of aging. Aging. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The world says we start dying the moment we're born. We start coming alive the moment we receive Jesus Christ, though. And so, therefore, we can break that curse of aging and we'll not get old in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we'll just grow on with the God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the curse of overeating. Eating when you don't need to eat. When you're hungry, but you're hungry for the Word and you don't recognize that it's the Word that you need. And you won't eat. You have to fill your body with food. And I break that curse of overeating. That addiction to food in Jesus' name. The curse of gluttony. Of craving for food in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I come against mockery. Rage and anger. Deception. Wine and strong drink. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the addiction to alcohol and wine and whiskey. And all of the cordials and all of the drinks that are intoxicating in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A dumb spirit, stealing, lying spirits, adultery, murder, pride. You've got to go. You've got to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of a drunkard, error, blindness, spiritual blindness, a stumbling spirit. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Praise the Lord. Well, it just seems to shut down today. That's all right. The devil does not get victory. My God is still God. Amen. Regardless of whether any demon moves or does not move, it does not faze my God one iota. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And it is up to you whether or not you receive deliverance. And my God has not been harmed one bit today. His plan was here today, and it's still working. Amen. That's right. It's still working. And maybe you're going to have to go through some more stuff. Do you know deliverance is for desperate people? That's what it is. It is for desperate people. And apparently we aren't very desperate today. Right? Are we ready, Glenn? Glenn, are we ready back there? I just praise the Lord. I thank you for allowing me. You're a good group of people. I allow you to come before you today. Let's all stand.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.